Before we show the video, I just want to say thank you so much for partnering with us, or I should say letting us partner with you, being a part of your missions outreach. We really appreciate and we enjoy coming back here. We appreciate your ministry. 5 years ago when we were here, Pastor Slutz heard about all the water problems we were having and said, I think we're going to provide a system so you can have a water system. And we want to thank you so much for that. This past term, the last 4.5 years, I don't think the water was on even 3 days in a row, but it would come on at night. So you guys sent money, and we were able to get this water system set up, and we had water the entire 4.5 years. And so that was a huge, huge, huge blessing. We really appreciate that. We also, the video was made last year. It talks about Susanna getting married. She's already married. She was married in April. Stephen got married 3 weeks ago, and he wasn't even engaged then, so we didn't even mention anything about that in the video. But we thank the Lord for our children who are wanting to serve him. Isaiah and Stephen both graduated from Ambassador Baptist College this past May, and they both want to stay and take the master's program, another year of studying. But Stephen married Martha, who also graduated, and so before he starts the master, he wants to sit out for at least 6 months to a year, get used to being married, and then finish up that. But we have Ruth and Richard that are still here in the States. Ruth is our oldest. She married Richard, who lost his wife 3 years ago. He was a missionary in Madagascar on his second term when his wife got sick with cancer and he had to come back to the States. But they have not. They're married. She had one baby when they came out to visit us. She's pregnant with her second baby, but they still can't go back to Madagascar. They've had the tickets since a year ago, April, and Madagascar has stayed closed, supposedly because of Corona, and so because of the COVID, and so they still haven't gotten in. So continue to pray for them. Hannah and Nathan, the third one, a second daughter, is on deputation right now. She and her husband trying to raise support. They were out for a year working with us, and they felt God calling them to come back, not necessarily to work with us in our exact location, but work somewhere there in the Ivory Coast. So pray that they will also get their support quickly. Just want to mention one other thing. Some of you have already picked up our prayer cards. The picture, the village on the prayer card is the village of the pastor that we worked with this past term. And he was born the royal family. In that village, every other generation, the chieftain goes back to one of the two families, and his family was one of them. And so when he started working with us, he had a desire to go back to his village with the gospel. So about, I guess, close to 4 years now, 3.5 years ago, he asked if I'd go with him to his village, and we went and we witnessed to the uncle of his great-great-grandfather. And we wrote about it in a prayer letter about 3 years ago, but his uncle made a profession of salvation. And to me, what was great about that was this man was 136 years old when he made a profession, the oldest man that has ever made a profession with me. But it was a little bit funny to us because we wrote back to the States and told about it in our prayer letters. And three different people here in the States wrote us back and said, we Googled it, and there isn't anybody 136 years old. So obviously, you made a mistake. So we thought that was kind of humorous, because how's Google going to know how old people are in a little village in Africa? But so a year later, we went back, and we had a seminar in that village, and I told the people, I thought it was funny, so I told the people that some of our people in America didn't believe that this former chief was 136 years old. By this time, he was 137. And they all just laughed at me, and we were in the middle of the seminar, so I didn't know what they were laughing about. But after that session, I asked some of the people, why were you laughing? And they said, well, when you came here last year, you told us you had 12 kids, and we didn't believe you either. So it was kind of funny. But what was interesting is that village is over 300 years old. Those people came over from Ghana. They were chased out of Ghana, which is a neighboring country, a little over 300 years ago. That village was started when we went there 3.5 years ago. The village hadn't changed at all in 300 years. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have water. They lived in mud huts. They still had their sacred forest where they believed that genies ran around at nighttime. They still worshiped idols. Everything was exactly like it was 300 years ago. And when I compare that to America, America was founded initially by people who came from Europe wanting religious freedom, and how God has changed our country. Now, obviously, it has gone back, it has slid downhill a lot since that time, but in 300 years, there have been dramatic changes here in the United States, and yet there was nothing there for 300 years. What is interesting is, since the time we have been there, the government has started to put electricity into that town. We had absolutely, obviously had nothing to do with it physically, but they all attribute it to us. They say, well, because you came, we now are getting electricity. A year ago, Josiah went with my brother-in-law to have another seminar there. And when they were out in the, well, first of all, because the pastor I work with is a chief's in the Chiefley family, they gave him a large section of land for him to have a farm in. So it was several acres. So he started clearing land. Well, in that village, they have a certain sacred tree that you are not allowed to cut down, no matter where it is. It's not just one tree, but it's a species of trees. You're not allowed to cut that species down anywhere. And he started cutting those trees down because there were a lot of them in his land, and he needed that land for his farm. And so, I mean, everybody in the chief, even the chief, everybody in the village, even the chief got very, very scared. They said, you know what happens when you cut this tree down? It doesn't rain. And now you're going to make it so that we have a drought. That was last year, and last year they had more rain than they've ever had. And so it's just very interesting. Also, when my son went with Richard to have the seminar, they were in that farm looking at the land, and it was misty, and a rainbow, they could see a rainbow that was a complete circle right above them. And all the little village kids started throwing stones at the rainbow. According to their custom, if a rainbow gets close to you, you will die, or somebody, you know, in that vicinity will die that day. Well, nobody died. And so it's just interesting how God is changing people in the whole village because of the fact that the gospel is there. 3 weeks ago, that old man died. And so the pastor that we work with, Pastor Conan, wanted to go back and visit him. He knew he was sick. He had been sick for about 3 weeks, and he hadn't talked at all. He hadn't gotten out of bed. He was just laying there. In their culture from 300 years ago, they have a culture that if a chief or a former chief dies, when before he's buried, two family members are killed and they're put in the grave. The chief is put on top of the two family dead family members, and two slaves are killed and put on top of him, so that when he enters the afterlife, he'll have two family members and two slaves to take care of him. Well, they don't do that anymore, but they still do believe that the last two family members that talk to the chief before he dies, their souls will be taken, and they will eventually, shortly after that, die, because their souls, even though they can't kill the body, their souls will go to be with the chief. So when this chief was sick, he couldn't get out of bed, he couldn't talk, but none of his family members would come and talk to him, because they were afraid that if they were the last two, that they would end up dying. So Pastor Conan, who we work with, went there when he found out he was sick, and he said when he went into his room, his great-great-uncle sat up in bed and started talking to him. The next day he died. And so Pastor Conan was the last family member to see him, and Pastor Conan is still very much alive. So it's just very, very interesting how a village that is so steeped in superstition has changed so much just because of the gospel being there. And I say all that because in the video, there's just one little picture, but you'll see a taller African man, I'm in the middle, and then this little short old man on the other side. This little short man, they said he used to be 6'6", and over the years he just kept shrinking, but he was the one that accepted Christ. And so it's just amazing what the gospel can do, how it can change lives. This is just a little glimpse of what has happened these last 4 years, and we'll show it to you before I come back.
Since 1994, we have been serving the Lord in Cote d'Ivoire, West Africa, a French-speaking country that is wide open to the gospel. Some send, some go, some plant, some water, some pick fruit. Each of our 12 children still continues in ministry. There is truly no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in truth.
Ruth and Richard Jertberg, serving with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples, are waiting for Madagascar to open. Hannah and Nathan Schrock, serving with Baptist World Mission, are on deputation planning to come to Cote d'Ivoire. Seth and Paige are on the first term in Sassandra, 2 hours east of San Pedro, church planting and starting a prison ministry. Our unmarried adult children live in Latimer, North Carolina, next to Ambassador Baptist College, where Josiah will be starting next year. Susanna is engaged to Matthew Schrock to be married in 2021.
Dad preaches and teaches every week, both in LAC on Sundays and Wednesdays, and in Petit Bedreau on Sunday afternoons and Friday evenings. Kids' class in Petit Bedreau has shifted from a mat outside to a lean-to next to the church, and then back outside on a mat. We are trying to build for this. Daddy also teaches or prepares seminars in the villages and teaches a monthly men's leadership training class. Richard, Nathan, Seth, and Josiah were a big help with these.
Instead of us going to the village this August, the men came from the villages to have the men's conference, or actually camp out at our church in LAC. They slept there on mats, ate there, and had meetings most of the day from 8 a.m. until 8:30 p.m. We thank the Lord for everyone working together to make this a great week. It was so good to have Nathan playing the piano and teaching a session on angels and demons. This is so needful since superstition is entrenched in the culture. During the men's conference, Mommy realized again how dependent we are on each other, partners in the work of God. There are the finders, salvagers, fixers, encouragers, planners, givers, cooks, all our worker bees, following our Lord Jesus Christ. What might be challenging for one is a joy for another.
Women also have their camp every year. We find a building available to hold meetings and to sleep in, and then cook outside. How would you like to attend a retreat like that? You would need to bring your own bucket for bathing, your own bowl and spoon, and of course, everything else you might need. Mommy also helps lead the ladies' conferences, seminars, and camp, helping with teaching, finances, and encouragement. Mommy is now down to 4 students homeschooling with the Abeka program and has since also taught Bible at the elementary school at our church, which Mr. Alexey, the deacon, has since taken over. We are committed to give out the gospel at every opportunity and to stay focused on winning souls for Christ. People must be born again before they can grow.
In June of 2016, the week before we came back to Cote d'Ivoire, Seth married Paige Scott. This term we popped into America in 2018 for 2 weddings. Ruth married Richard Jertberg and Hannah married Nathan Schrock. It was with joy that our parents gave our sisters to these missionary-minded men. In 2019, Mommy was able to go to Texas to help deliver Daniel, Hannah's first baby, and Daddy was able to participate in Seth's ordination in Illinois.
We are so blessed to live only a half mile from the beach. Every Monday, we enjoy family time. What a beautiful setting to visit, walk, witness, play, and care for our dogs. We love all our pets. Besides cats and dogs, we had a squirrel, monkeys, turtles, and mongooses. These pets are usually brought from hunters who have killed the mothers. We take care of God's little creatures and then release them in the wild when they are able to survive on their own. Our kittens also make great pets to our African friends who have to deal with mice getting into their houses and food.
Visitors are always welcome. We want to minister to them and they want to bless us. How great is that? Our goal is to encourage all young people to surrender their lives to God and prepare to serve Him. The call to serve is the call to prepare. Why not learn French and go to Bible college? Hannah was able to help everyone with French. Nathan was able to teach, preach, and mentor the youth in French.
We had boys' class every Saturday morning. Boys, boys, imagine 45 boys overrunning your yard. So many of the men serving God today have started out in one of our children's classes. Landry, Fulgence, Uriel, Elise, Elie, and Maximin are just a few. Everyone is drafted to help with the boys, clean up, supervise, teach, give snacks, and water, everything for an eternal cause. After COVID-19 began, we could still go anywhere, but not assemble in a building. If you went into a building, you had to wash your hands and wear a mask. Our people appreciated the handouts of printed messages and study questions, and, of course, the bread and water that Daddy gave out. Our cousin Gabriel came out for a 3-month visit and ended up with us for 6 months.
Every Sunday afternoon, we go to a village 30 minutes from home. Daddy teaches the men for 2 hours. They are eager to grow by learning sound doctrine. During this time, out under the trees, Mommy teaches the ladies and their kids songs, how to read, a Bible lesson, other subjects like sewing, child care, and health issues. She never knows how many children will be included. Jesus never told the children to go away, so we started another class for the older ones. Fulgence was faithful to come and teach.
Maintenance takes on a new meaning in Africa. You could live in a hut with the rats, roaches, mosquitoes, dust, dirt, and candlelight. You could wash your clothes by hand and draw water in a bucket from a well. Daddy does a great job keeping the electricity and water on, and the machines and car working. When the car is in for repairs, we boys, and yes, even Daddy, do enjoy using Seth's motorbike.
Accidents are never fun, yet Job still worships God. Praise God for bringing us through a huge car accident. Praise God for the use of Steve King's and Seth's cars to continue the ministry. Praise God that Josiah survived a motorcycle accident with only a broken arm. Thank you so much for your prayers for our safety.
Cups of cold water given in Jesus' name are never given in vain. In this hot country, we serve bread and cold water. David and I pass out bread every Sunday school. We also give away fruit from our trees. Daddy has made a water system which keeps the house running smoothly. City water is rarely on during the day. The tanks have to be cleaned often.
We do love babies. Ruth, Hannah, and I are all midwives. I witnessed each lady that comes my way. This lady delivered twins and stayed for a week. It was a joy to help her with the twins. Even more than that was Ruth having Hadassah and Hannah having Azariah in our house.
Growth takes time. We move from instruction in the Word for salvation, to integrity in the soul, to initiative to serve. Growth must go in that order. Children become youth who can lead others to becoming faithful men. Praise God for our own kids setting an example of serving God. Please pray for us as we continue to serve God in Côte d'Ivoire. Praise God that this country is wide open to the preaching of the gospel. We do thank the Lord that He has allowed us and called us to go to a country like the Ivory Coast that is still so open. Even with the COVID, we were only shut down for 6 weeks and then things opened back up again. There are still a few banks and a few grocery stores you have to wear a mask into, but it's basically completely back to normal the way it was, except for traveling, you have to have the COVID test to go into the country, and before we come back to the States, we have to have the COVID test. But so we really thank the Lord. There are still some countries that are completely closed, like Madagascar, and there's other countries that are very difficult to get into. And so we are grateful to be serving in a country where we can have freedom and we can get in. Even in the country, the country is mostly animist. Animism, spirit worship, and idol worship is the biggest concentration of religion, if you want to call it that. Then after that would be Islam and then Catholicism. But in everything, people realize that there is a God. And so because they realize that there's a God, you'd have a hard time finding even five people who denied that God existed in the entire country. I mean, everybody believes that there's a God. They can see it in nature. They can see it in everything that happens. And so we have the president has given orders that anybody who is there on a religious purpose is supposed to be given freedom. And so we have total freedom to talk to people. There's a lot of Muslims there, but they're not like the Muslims in the Middle East. They're very, very open. They will talk very easily. The Muslims are very indoctrinated. They indoctrinate their kids from the age of about 3. They teach them very, very well. And so it is still difficult to get through to a Muslim, but they're very open to talk to you. To me, it was kind of interesting. I think I mentioned this last time we were here. But the same president is there that was there when we were here last time. The Ivory Coast, supposedly you're only allowed to have two terms, and they're 5-year terms. But when the president became president, the former president didn't want to step down, so there's a lot of problems. So he said that term didn't count. So he ran again. So he's on his third term, and he ran in October. There were 44 candidates this past October for president, but he said that 40 of them were not qualified. There were only four left that were qualified, he and three others. And then the other three told their followers to boycott the election. So it's pretty obvious to who won, because he won. He got almost 100% of the votes because the only people voting were the people voting for him. It was kind of a weird thing. But we do have total freedom. He studied here in the United States. He's a Muslim. He came from Burkina Faso, the country right above us. He's a black Muslim. He married a white French woman who is Catholic and who is Jewish. So we got white, black, Muslim, Catholic, and Jewish all mixed together. And that sounds really strange, but I think partially because of that, there is total freedom as far as religion is concerned. And so we have total freedom to talk to anybody. Even the Muslims are not upset when we talk. They might not agree with us, but they're not at all upset. But that also makes it difficult between that and the animism, which everybody has grown up with. It makes it very difficult. It makes it very easy to talk to people, and it actually, people accept Christ pretty easily, but the growth process is still very slow. I want to look a little bit tonight in John 15, and what we try to hammer into our people out there is that they need to grow, that they need to abide in Christ and grow. And that's what Jesus is talking about here in John 15. Here in John 15, Jesus is talking. He just had what we call the triumphal entry. He had just entered Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. He had just eaten what we call the Last Supper with the disciples. And after that, in that evening, after Judas had gone to get ready to betray him, Jesus was talking to the rest of the disciples here in chapter 15. And he told them 12 times in this passage, he told them to abide in him. And so it was a main theme of the passage. I tell our people out there, is when you're studying a passage and you see one word or one phrase over and over again that jumps out at you, it's probably because that's a key phrase in the passage. And so here, I just want to read verses 1 through, I'll try to read it quickly, verses 1 through 17, and then we'll look into this passage real quickly. I enjoy speaking up here in the north because the northerners speak fast and hear fast. When you speak in the south, you got to speak slowly and you can't cover as much material. So hopefully all of you came from the north and you can understand me easily. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. There's one phrase, one word that's repeated over and over. As I said, the phrase abide in Christ. The word abide is used 12 times here. But there's another word that's used over and over. And that's the word bear much fruit, the idea of bearing fruit. It's used 8 times in these verses. So in this passage, we see 3 different groups of people, or 3 different subjects. The first is Jesus Christ, who is called the vine, the true vine. We see the Father, who is the husbandman, who takes care of the vine. And we see us, who are the branches. So I just want to look briefly at the 3 subjects and then apply it to our lives. Jesus Christ is the true vine. The Bible says in verse 10 that he kept his Father's commandments, he said. So we see that when he was in the garden a little bit later on and he was praying, he sweat drops of blood, like blood, because he was keeping his Father's commandments, even though it was not an easy thing to do. Sometimes we look at Christ and we remember that he was God, or that he is God, and we sometimes forget that he was also man, and that he did not desire to die on the cross. The physical part of him did not desire to do that, but he kept his Father's commands. And he said not only that, in verse 15 he says, he made known to us all things that he heard from his Father. So he transmitted to us everything that was necessary for us. He says he speaks to us so that his joy will remain in us, and so that our joy will remain full. And it's kind of interesting. He's speaking this right before he's getting ready to be betrayed. And he says to his disciples that are there with him, he said just before this, he said in a few minutes, he didn't say in a few minutes, but he said, I'm getting ready to give my life. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to be taken. I'm going to die on the cross, and I'm going to rise again. They didn't really understand that. But he said, I'm speaking to you now so that my, in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When we think of Jesus Christ, he obviously portrayed all the attributes of the, he had all the fruits of the Spirit in him. He was God. He is God. And he was a God of joy. He had joy even though he was suffering. And he said, I want my joy to remain in you, even though you're going to see things you're not going to understand. He also said in verses 9 and 12 that he loved us. And not only did he love us, but he commanded us to love one another as he loved us. He called us friends. In verse 16, he chose us and he ordained us. And that's a wonderful thing. The fact that before the foundation of the earth, according to Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen by God and ordained or appointed. And what were we chosen and appointed to do before he even created the earth? In the end of verse 16, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So we were chosen and ordained by God, by Jesus, the true vine, through the fact that he kept his Father's commandments, obeyed what he was supposed to do, went to the cross, gave his life. But he did all that so that we could be chosen, and so that we could abide in him, and so that we could bear fruit. That's the first person, the first subject. The second subject was the Father, the husbandman. In verse 10, we see that he loved Christ. In verse 6, we see that he casts forth those that don't abide in Christ. In verse 2, the Bible says he takes away the branches that don't bear fruit, and he purges every branch that bears fruit. That's referring to us. Sometimes we are purged, sometimes we are cut, sometimes there are things taken out of our lives, or sometimes we are bearing fruit, but we're not bearing as much as we should. And so the husbandman has to do some cutting. In Lattimore, North Carolina, where our kids live across from Ambassador Baptist College, our daughter planted some grapevines. And there's just like 4 or 5 vines. But during the winter time, they all dry up, all the leaves drop off, and they just look like dead sticks. And one of the professors came over and said, you ought to just cut those things down. They're dead. And our children said, no, they're not dead. And when the winter is over and the summer comes again, the spring comes, they will start producing. Well, winter went over and summer and spring started, and my son Stephen went over there and he was cutting off all the long branches off of those vines so that the branches that remained could produce more fruit. And they when we left, we've been gone for a couple months now, but they had all kinds of little clusters of grapes on them. But that's what God has to do for us. The husbandman prunes the branches that are attached to the vine so that the branch that is left will produce the fruit that we're supposed to produce. And so that's the two subjects. The third subject is we, the branches. We, again, the main subject here is the fact that we are supposed to abide in him. In verse 4, abide in me and I in you. If we don't abide in him, it says in verse 5, we can do nothing without him. If you try to take one of those branches, my son did. He took those branches and he threw them on the ground. Nothing happened. Once you cut a branch, even though it has buds on it, if you cut it off the vine and you just leave it, it's going to die. If we don't abide in Christ, we can't produce anything. We'll just wither up and die. Verse 6 says, we're cast forth as a branch if we don't abide in Christ. And again, in verse 4, if we don't abide in Christ, we can't bear fruit. A lot of times, God has given us certain abilities and talents, and we think that with our talents and abilities that God has given to us, we can serve him. And it's after you do things enough times, you can come to church, you can sing a song without really thinking about what you're singing. You can teach a Sunday school lesson or even preach a message without really thinking about what you're doing. And if you're not careful, you can go through all the actions, but if we're not abiding in Christ, we're not going to produce fruit. And that's what God asks us to do here. And that's what we are commanded to do. The second thing that we are the branches are supposed to do, we're supposed to keep his commandments. The command here was to abide in him. The command here, again in verse 16, we're chosen and ordained so that we'll go and bring forth fruit and that fruit will remain. So if we are chosen to do that, if that is a reason why we are to abide in him is so that we can bring forth fruit, that means all of us should be bearing fruit. Unfortunately, in the Ivorians out there in a lot of the churches, and as we come back to America and come back to a lot of the churches, it seems like there's a lot of Christians, and even in our own lives, it seems like there's a lot of times where it doesn't seem like we're bearing any fruit. And I think that's because we are not abiding in him. And if we are not abiding in him, the Bible says if we are his children and we are not abiding in him, then he's going to prune us. He's going to purge us. So if we're not purged, if we're not pruned, and we're not abiding in him, that even shows something even further. To me, that shows that we were never in the vine to begin with. And so that's in the Ivory Coast, there are a lot of people that come to church because we are an American and because they see America as the land of money. And if they come to church and they become friends with us, then obviously some of that money is going to trickle down to them. And so we don't know why people are there when they first come. We try to treat everybody equally, but there are a lot of people that come just to see what they can get out of us. We can't do that with God. We have to abide in him for the right reason. We have to abide in him. And if we don't, if we have accepted him and are not abiding in him, then he's going to purge us. The purpose of fruit, or the characteristics of fruit, it says here in the passage that we are to abide in him so that we will bear fruit. So what are the characteristics of fruit? First of all, how do you get fruit? You don't get fruit if a seed, first of all, hasn't died and a plant hasn't grown. So fruit is the result of death. We know that for us, we can bear fruit, spiritual fruit, because Jesus Christ was willing to come and die and not stay dead, but rise again from the dead. And He said Jesus said in John 12:24, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We have to die to self, and Jesus Christ had to die for us before we can bring forth fruit. The second characteristic of fruit, I don't know if you noticed on the video, but there was several buckets of fruit that we hand out, and we hand out different fruit. But how many of you recognize what that fruit was? There was one over here. What was it? It was mangoes. How do you know it was mango? Because it looks like a mango. And what tree does a mango come from? It comes from a mango tree. So another characteristic of fruit is fruit shows where you came from. If you see an apple, you know it came from not an orange tree, but an apple tree. And when people see our lives and the fruit in our lives, they know who we are associated with. They know where we came from. One thing I really appreciate about the Muslim people, even here in the States, no matter where you go, when you see a Muslim, you know that they're a Muslim. How do you know that they're a Muslim? Because they dress like a Muslim, they talk like a Muslim, they act like a Muslim. And that is a good characteristic. Unfortunately, we as Christians sometimes don't follow through with that. There are a lot of Christians who don't want to look like a Christian or be thought of as a Christian or act like a Christian or talk like a Christian because we don't want people to know that we're Christians. But if you have fruit, if you have really real spiritual fruit, what are people going to know? They're going to know what tree we came from. They're going to know that we are Christians. And that is another purpose, another characteristic of fruit. Another thing about fruit is fruit shows what the branch is like. And in our case, it shows what the vine is like. It shows what Christ is like. One of our goals and one of the things that God wants us to do is to portray Christ to others. That's the idea of being a Christian, a small Christ, someone who is exhibiting and showing Christ to others. Fruit satisfies. We love fruit. And fruit satisfies. Fruit can satisfy hunger. And when we produce fruit, God is satisfied. The verse we read there, God himself is satisfied. In fact, as he demands and the purpose we are to abide in Christ is so that we can produce fruit. So he is satisfied and he is happy and he is the purpose for which we are, what we are in existence, is satisfied when we produce fruit. Another major purpose of fruit is to recreate itself. Where is the seed? The seed is in the fruit. And when we produce fruit, when there is fruit and the fruit falls to the ground and the outside dies or it falls into the ground, eventually that seed will grow and produce another tree, which will then produce more fruit. And that is the purpose of fruit in our lives. The purpose of fruit in our lives is not just to live a life. We are not here on this earth just to live a good life, to have money, to have a house, and to die. We're here on this earth to please God, to produce fruit, so that we can touch other people's lives, so that people will hear about the good news of Jesus Christ and accept him, so that their lives will change, and in turn, so that they will touch others, and so forth. And that's the purpose. That's what Jesus was saying here. So he says here, Jesus says to his disciples, right before, just before he dies, he says, abide so that you can do something for him, so that you won't wither. Abide in Christ so that you won't be cast forth. Abide in Christ, he says in verse 7, so that when you pray, your prayers will be answered. He says, abide in Christ ultimately so that you will bear fruit. Why bear fruit? Bear fruit so, he says, so you will resemble Christ. So you will look like the one we are following. So that we will show our obedience to Christ. So that we will satisfy and glorify the Father. And so that we will reproduce other believers. That's what we teach our Ivorians. That's what we are there in the Ivory Coast for. But that's what we're here in the States for, too. There are still lots and lots and lots of people here in the States that have not heard. In fact, it seems like there's more people now that don't even know who Jesus Christ is than there were even 5 years ago, because the left wants to throw Christ out of everything. And we are the ones that are supposed to be abiding in him and bearing fruit. We can't expect the unbelievers to do what's right. We can't expect them to elect a president that's going to please God. We can't expect them to do anything that's right, because they don't abide in him. They're not part of him. But we can, and God expects us to. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So the question for all of us is, first of all, are you in Christ? And that's the first question we ask an Ivorian. Are you in Christ? Because you cannot bear fruit, you can't abide in him if you aren't in him to begin with. And how are you connected to him? How can we know that we are in him? It's if we have realized that we are a sinner, and if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Savior. And are you abiding in him? If you're not abiding in him, you can't do anything by yourself. And you will wither. You will be cast forth as a branch. You won't be able to bear fruit. And ultimately, you won't have your prayers answered. Doesn't sound like a very good thing. What we desire for ourselves, what we desire for you, is that we all, those of us who have accepted Christ, will abide in him. And as we look at the world and what's happening in this last year and a half with COVID and everything else, I mean, everything seems completely ready for Jesus Christ to come back. If it is, and if he does, if he comes back tonight or this week or this month, is he going to look at us and find believers that are abiding in him and that are producing fruit? We don't have much longer to produce fruit. We don't know how much longer it's going to be, but obviously Christ's return is a year closer than it was a year ago. That's a fact that nobody can deny. And whether it will come when we're alive, whether it will come this year, whether it will come this month, we don't know, but we do know he's coming soon. My desire, personally, you know, it's not too hard to start the Christian life. And it's not too hard to do it right, to start the Christian life right. But it's not too easy to finish the Christian life right. And we want to come back here, if the Lord doesn't come back, in 5 more years and see those of you who are still continuing faithful to God. We want that for ourselves. I just talked with a gentleman in the back who said he's been praying for us every week. We need your prayers. Thank you for that. Because the devil is out to mess us up. The devil is out to make us fall. The devil does not want us spreading the good news. The devil does not want us bearing fruit. The devil doesn't even want us abiding in Christ. And he is working at it. But we know that the Holy Spirit that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. Continue to pray for us, and we'll continue to pray for you. Our desire and our prayer is that we will stay abiding in Christ and stay bearing fruit. Not just bearing fruit, but bearing much fruit. And not just bearing much fruit, but bearing much fruit that will remain. Because if you bear fruit that doesn't remain, it's kind of useless.